From the campuses of Oberlin College in Oberlin, Ohio, and Brown University Pembroke College in Providence, Rhode Island, the National Broadcasting Company presents the College Quiz Bowl. Tonight, Oberlin College is back with us to defend the title they won last week. And here to challenge them, we have Brown University and Pembroke College in Brown University, Providence, Rhode Island. And now, here in Radio City, New York, is your master of the quiz, with five $100 bills in his hand, Mr. Alan Money Ludden.
Well. Hi there, everybody. It's good to have you with us for another intercollegiate battle of the brains. Before we get along with our game, let's meet these teams. First, we're going up to little old Rhode Island, the home of Roger Williams, the pioneer of religious liberty, and meet the team from Brown University, Pembroke College, which, by the way, it says here is the home of the liberal ideal. That's what it says here. And to Ted Metcalf at station WJAR Providence, who is on hand to referee for the Brown-Pembroke team. How's everything at Brown-Pembroke tonight, Ted?
Wonderful, Alan. There's a lot of excitement and enthusiasm here tonight, and the team is all set to give Oberlin a battle. And here they are to introduce themselves.
Carolyn Urquhart from St. Albans, Vermont.
Evelyn Portnoy from Providence, Rhode Island.
Ralph Ginsberg from New York, New York.
John Cutler from Great Neck, New York.
You've met the team from Brown University, Pembroke College in Brown University. Now let's move out to the Middle West, to Oberlin, Ohio, where they're dedicated to the plainest living and highest thinking. And to Jerry Liebman of WTAM Cleveland, who is standing by to referee for the Oberlin College team. Are you there, Jerry?
You bet I am, Alan. Well, it was great jubilation after last week's victory, but the team hasn't let it go to their heads, not one bit. They've been busy preparing for Brown Pembroke, and here they are to say hello.
David Mitten, Stowe, Ohio.
Ernest Hook, Brooklyn, New York.
Tom Shepard, East Orange, New Jersey.
Sally Nesbitt, Wellesley Hills, Massachusetts.
There we've met both teams. Now, before Roger Tuttle explains our rules, may I point out that we recognize the fact that here in the College Quiz Bowl, we're putting the emphasis on a quick recall of specific facts. But we're also trying to give you an opportunity to meet a few of the many remarkable, well-rounded personalities that can be found today on every American campus. Now, how about the rules, Roger?
Right, Alan, and here they are. Alan Ludden asked a toss-up question worth 10 points. And the first team to signal it knows the answer gets a chance to answer it. When Brown University signals, you'll hear... And when Oberlin College signals, you'll hear... By means of a special electronic selector, the team which signals first, even by a split second, activates its light here in New York City and makes it impossible for the other team's light to flash. If a team gives a wrong answer to the toss-up question, the other team is given a chance to answer it. And whichever team gives the right answer gets a bonus question worth the stated number of points. The team with the most points at the end of the game is the winner and will return next week to defend its title here in the College Quiz Bowl.
Thank you, Roger. Now, remember, teams, you may interrupt a toss-up question before I've finished asking it. But if you do, and if your answer is wrong, your team's going to be penalized 5 points, and I'll have to repeat the question, giving the other team a free crack at it. Okay, those are the rules. And that's the opening whistle, so let's go. Our first bonus question tonight is worth 30 points. Here's the toss-up that might get it for you. If the little giant accompanied the little flower to Little Rock, for 10 points, tell us, who'd go where? No takers? Fort Brown.
Carolyn Urquhart.
Stephen Douglas would accompany the former mayor of New York, Pierre LaGuardia, to Little Rock, Arkansas.
Right, for 10 points. That's it. Boy. Okay, Brown Pembroke. You got a chance now to 30-point bonus. Remember, on a bonus question, you work as a team. Now, with Halloween coming up and Thanksgiving not so far away, here's a bonus question on pumpkins. For 10 points, Brown Pembroke, you're to complete the poetic verse, the verse that commences, Peter, Peter.
Pumpkin Peter had a wife and couldn't keep her. Put her in a pumpkin shell and there he kept her very well.
Very good for 10 points. Okay, now for 10 more points. Quote the words that immediately follow these. Hurrah for the fun is the pudding done.
Hurrah for the pumpkin pie.
Right, for 10 points. That's a song. I was going to sing it, but I don't know the blues melody. All right. For a final 10 points, I want you to quote. Now listen. Quote the first two lines of the poem that commences. These are the first words in these lines. When the frost is on the pumpkin...
The first two?
Yeah, finish this line and the next.
when the frost is on the pumpkin. Time is called. When the frost is on the pumpkin and the fart is in the shock, and you hear the kike and the gobble of the strutting turkey cock. Well, I didn't say kike very well, but that's the idea. All right. Score in time, Roger.
Right now, Alan, 16 minutes to go. Brown Pembroke has 30 points. Oberlin College has nothing at the moment.
All right, I got a 20-point bonus in the offing. Here's a toss if we could get it for you. If someone were to tell you that you were eliacious, would he mean that you were exceedingly ugly, that you had excellent judgment, or that you were suffering from a social handicap? No takers? Oh, Brown.
Excellent. John Cutler.
Excellent judgment.
Can you take it, Oberlin?
Does that mean he had halitosis, bad breath, a social maladjustment?
All right. That means suffering from a social handicap, and you got it by waiting, Oberlin, specifically by smelling of garlic and onions. But I think you hit it near enough. Okay. Well, all right. Here we go with a 20-point bonus question for Oberlin. I'm going to describe certain historic scenes, and for 10 points apiece, you are to name the city in which the scenes occurred. You got it? All right, now the date is May 21st, 1927. A tall, thin, fair-haired man descends on a foreign city.
Paris? To Lindbergh?
Paris? That's right. Before I finished it, I was to ask you what the city is. And it was Paris, the man Lindbergh, completing his first nonstop flight from New York to Paris. All right, name the city. On the 30th of April, 1789, a tall, imposing man with a Roman nose, powdered wig, and scarred face stands on the balcony of a federal building. He raises his right hand and is sworn into office. What is the city?
New York?
New York, right. The man was whom?
George Washington.
Right, the man was George Washington. Okay, now before we move along to another toss-up question, let's find out what the stakes are in this quiz game. Roger?
Each week, the National Broadcasting Company will award to the school of the winning team a $500 cash award to be administered by the college. It may go to a scholarship fund or to a campus activity. And each member of the losing team will receive an attractive and dependable Whitnor wristwatch, a distinguished product of the Longines Whitnor Watch Company since 1866, maker of watches of the highest character. Well, those are the stakes. Now, with 14 minutes to go, Brown Pembroke has 30 points. Oberlin College has 30 points. Alan, back to a toss-up question.
We're all tied up, huh? Okay, I've got a 30-point musical bonus coming up. A 30-point musical bonus. Here's a toss-up that might get it for you. For 10 points, tell us, who said the child is the father of the man? Brown.
Evelyn Portnoy.
Wordsworth said that.
Right, Wordsworth. And it's probably where my heart leaps up when I behold. Right, Brown Pembroke here is a 30-point musical bonus. Now listen very carefully. For 5 points apiece, you are to identify each of the following compositions and write down the titles as you identify them. First,
oh, the buzzing of the bees and the cigarette trees, the soda water fountain where the lemonade springs and the bluebird sings.
All right, now what is the name of that song?
But Sugar Candy Mountain.
No, I can't give you the 5 points, but I'll give you the name. Big Rock Candy Mountain. I do not give you the credit. All right, now, name this next one for five. Wait, all right, we're going to listen to the record. Now, you're not asking, I'm not asking here for the title of the song. Listen to the artist. All right, now, name the quartet that was singing that.
The Four Lads. The Four Aces.
All right, 5 points. Write it down. Okay, you got 5 points there. Another 5 points, and you can name this song.
At the fair. Meet me in St. Louis now. Yeah.
All right, 5 points. Now you have the three names written down, don't you? Now for an additional 15 points, you're to take a word from each of these titles and tell us what important current event is indicated.
It's the Big Four meeting at Geneva.
Right, the Big Four meeting. You got the 15 points. So let's see, we made 25 out of that, didn't they? Okay, I got a 30 point. What'd they make out of that?
25. Well, that's right.
Yeah, they missed one of the five. Yeah, 25 points, that's right. Sure, here we go. With a 30-point bonus coming up, here's your toss-up. 30 points coming up for 10 points now. Why would a soldier suffering from nearsightedness have been at a dangerous disadvantage fighting under General Israel Putnam at Breed's Hill? Oberlin.
Ernest Hook. He said, don't shoot until you see the whites of their eyes.
That's right. That is right. That's why they would be at a dangerous disadvantage.
Reed's Hill. Actually, the hill at which the Battle of Bunker Hill was fought. Okay, Oberlin, you got a 30-point bonus here. For a quick 10 points apiece, you're to identify the men who bore the following nicknames. First of all, Slamming Sammy.
What was that again?
Sneed.
Slamming Sammy.
Sneed, the golfer.
Sneed, the golfer. Sam Sneed, right, for 10 points. All right, the Galloping Ghost.
Red Grange.
Right, for 10 points, Red Grange. The Flying Finn.
Bobby Normie.
Right, that's near enough. That's, who knows? It's Pavo Nurmi I have here. Famous smiler, distance runner. You got them all. All right, scoring time now, Roger.
Right now, Alan, 11 minutes to go. Oberlin has now climbed ahead. They have 70 points. Brown Pembroke trails by 5 at 65.
All right, this is the first. Close, and I have a 30-point bonus coming up. Here's your toss-up. Here's your toss-up. You're to name the Norwegian whose misdeeds made him unworthy of heaven, but who were too petty to be punished in hell. Oberlin.
Sally Nesbitt.
Quisling.
Can you take it, Brown?
Siegfried?
No, Peer Gynt. Oh. All right, here we go. The toss-up question still in the offing. A 30-point bonus. For 10 points, tell us, what were Beecher's Bible? Oberlin.
Ernest Hook.
Those were the guns that were collected in New England to be sent to Kansas for use by the abolitionists in the Kansas-Nebraska Wars.
That is exactly right. Exactly right. Again, we've got a 30-point bonus here. Now, listen carefully. I'm going to describe a specific area of land by giving you four clues. Now, if you correctly identify the area I have in mind at the first clue, you'll get 30 points. At the second clue, 20 points. At the third, 10 points. And if it takes four clues before you come up with the name of this area, you'll earn only 5 points. Here goes. First clue. It formed part of the Holy Roman Empire until it was annexed to France by Louis XIV.
Alsace-Lorraine or...
The Tsar?
The Tsar. Did I hear the Tsar?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right. For 10, 30 points. The whole thing on the first clue.
That's the halftime whistle, which calls for our timeout right now.
Thank you, Roger. Now, we're going to take out a minute here and meet these teams. First, let's meet this remarkable team from Brown Pembroke. Carolyn Urquhart.
That's right.
Carolyn Urquhart. What's your major?
I'm majoring in English literature.
How are you classified?
I'm a junior here at Pembroke of Brown.
When you graduate, what are you going to do?
Well, I really haven't made up my mind yet. I might like to go on to graduate study. I don't know.
I see. You're going to get married?
Perhaps.
Will you marry a brown man?
Well, I'm from Missouri.
Very good. Evelyn Portnoy.
That's right.
Are you classified?
I'm a senior at Pembroke.
Your major?
English.
What are you going to do?
I hope to go to graduate school and after that to teach in high school.
What would you teach?
I'd like to teach English in high school.
Good. We need those teachers. Ralph Ginsburg, how are you?
I'm here, Alan.
How are you classified, sir?
Sophomore.
Major?
English and Greek literature.
Plans?
Teaching, eventually.
Where?
Teach where? Wherever I can get a position.
Very good. You going to go to graduate school?
Oh, yes.
Where?
I don't know. Probably, I hope to go to Cambridge if I can.
Well, I hope you can. All right, John Cutler.
Here I am.
What is your major?
I'm majoring in history, Alan, and I'm a senior at Brown.
What are you going to do when you graduate?
Well, I'm going to serve 3 years in the Navy, and I'll have to decide after that.
You Naval ROTC?
That's right.
Good outfit up there?
Very good.
Fine. You going to marry a Pembroke girl?
Well, it's hard to say, Alan.
Why is it hard to say?
There's too many people around.
Oh. Very good. Now let's go out to Oberlin. David Mitten, I hear out of Oberlin about Oberlin College and this mock convention? What is this?
Well, this mock convention is an imitation of the real political conventions, which will be held next May.
Where?
Here in Oberlin College. We'll be simulating everything that goes on in a regular mock convention.
How long have you been doing that out there?
Ever since 1860, when Oberlin came through and nominated Abraham Lincoln.
In 1860? All right, now, have you had any elections lately to determine what party you're going to be with?
Yes, we have, sir.
What was the outcome this year?
We're going to be Democratic for the second time in our history.
For the second time in history, you're going to be Democratic?
Right.
You think that's a straw in the wind?
It's hard to tell.
Very clever. Are you a politician, David? Are you a politician?
I'm not too well versed in the subject, Al.
Okay, but you're very diplomatic, to say the least.
There's our whistle. Looks like it's time to get back to work here.
Right, Alan. And we have 6.5 minutes to go. The score right now, Brown Pembroke 65, Oberlin College 110. And
I have a 30-point bonus in the offing. A 30-point musical bonus, to say the least. A musical bonus worth 30 points in the offing. Here's your toss-up that might get it for you. 10 points. If you can quote the line of poetry which immediately precedes these. Its loveliness increases. It will never pass into nothing. Brown.
Evelyn Portnoy.
A thing of beauty is a joy forever.
Right for 10 points. Okay, Brown Pembroke, you've got a 30-point musical bonus here. You'll get 10 points each time you identify the exact occupations of the leading characters in the following compositions. First. The exact occupation of the leading characters. Did I hear? What did I hear?
Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Right, the Sorcerer's Apprentice. That is the exact occupation, and for 10 points. Now, right, the exact occupation here.
It's a barber.
Right, for 10 points. All right, this is a little tougher. What is the exact occupation here?
That's from the Meister Singer.
All right, the occupation?
Master Singer.
Right, Master Singer. Pull that out just in time. Scoring time now, Rod.
Right now, Alan, things are narrowing down. We have 5 minutes to go. Brown Pembroke has climbed to 105. Oberlin College, 110.
I have a 20-point bonus coming up. Here's your toss-up. At a time when relations between two major European powers were extremely strained, Emperor William II of Germany caused a stir when he visited the deathbed of his grandmother. Now, for 10 points, who was his grandmother? Oberlin.
Ernest Cook. Queen Victoria.
Right, for 10 points. Queen Victoria of England. You got a 20-point bonus here, Oberlin. Now, think back. Think. Remember the recent headlines, Oberlin. Remember the recent headlines, and for 20 points, is Jeffrey Francis Fisher for him or against him? Oberlin. Jeffrey Francis Fisher. From the recent headlines.
He's against him.
He's against him? Who is them? You got it right for 20.
I'm the Archbishop of Canterbury. Against Margaret Rose and Peter Townsend.
That's right, for 20 points.
Right now, Alan, 4 minutes to go. Oberlin has 140. Brown Pembroke, 105.
I have a 20-point bonus in the offing. Here's your toss-up. Kublai Khan had his summer palace at a place called Shandu. For Brown.
Xanadu.
Xanadu's the answer I'm looking for. 10 points. I didn't even ask it. What did Coleridge call Xanadu? Xanadu. Xanadu's the answer. Here's your bonus question. 20 points, Brown Pembroke. Stendhal wrote a book called The Red and the Black. For 20 points, to what do Stendhal's red and black refer?
A checkerboard?
No.
Political party?
Nope. Crime is called. That's enough. Red is the military spirit, black is the ecclesiastic. Okay, I got a 20-point bonus in the offing here. Here's another toss-up question. It's Spotsylvania. A famous general made a comment that included a reference to the hottest season of the year. For 10 points, what did the general say? No takers? I propose to fight it out along this line if it takes all summer. General Grant. Here's another toss-up question. 20-point bonus in the offing. For 10 points, tell us, who was the last Saxon king of England? Oberlin.
David Benton.
Harold. Right, for 10 points. Here's a 20-point bonus, Oberlin. For 20 points, tell us. What state's capital, for 20 points, what state's capital has the same name as a famous German statesman?
Frankfurt.
No? Mm-hmm. Frankfurt, Kentucky. No, it's
a famous...
Bismarck.
The answer to the question is what? What state?
Bismarck. North Dakota.
North Dakota is the answer I'm seeking. What state's capital has the same... Well, all right, Bismarck I would have accepted. Fine. All right, 20-point bonus in the offing. Here's your toss-up question. For 10 points, by whose hands did the orator Demosthenes and the soldier Hannibal meet their deaths? Oberlin.
David Mitten.
Poison? No, the Romans.
By whose hands? All right, can you take it, Brown?
The people.
No.
by their own hands. They both committed suicide. Okay. 20-point bonus still in the offing. Here's your toss-up. For 10 points, tell us. What did a man named Hugo Theorel recently get? Brown.
Evelyn Portnoy.
He just received the Nobel Prize.
Right, for 10 points. Nobel Prize in Medicine. All right, Brown Pembroke, for 20 points, if in 10 seconds flat, you can name four members of Robin Hood's band. Time.
Will Scarlet.
Little John, Will Stutely, and Alan Adele.
Right, for 20 points.
Alan, we've only got a minute to go. Oberlin has 170. Brown Pembroke has 145.
I have a 20-point bonus in the offing. For 10 points, tell us the maximum number of words you are allowed to use in sending the cheapest straight telegram. Oberlin.
David Mitten.
50.
What did I hear? What did
50.
I hear?
50.
Can you take it, Brown?
10.
No, 15. All right, here we go. 20-point bonus in the offing. His mother was Olympias, his father Philip. For 10 points, who was he? Oberlin.
David Alexander Mitten. The Great.
Right. For 10 points, Alexander the Great. Okay, here's a 20-point bonus for you, Oberlin. Give us the names. Oberlin, give us the names of Don Quixote's horse and Rip Van Winkle's dog, both. For 20 points. Don Quixote's horse.
His horse was...
not the one that's supposed to be the other. Rosinante?
Right. No, and not the dog.
And Sandra.
Bruno or something.
All right, time is called. Rosinante and Wolf. Wolf was the dog I was looking for Rip Van Winkle. I have a 15-point bonus in the offing. Here's your toss-up. For 10 points, who was Robert Herrick talking about when he wrote, How Sweetly Float...
Alan, I'm sorry. I don't know, and nobody else will know unless
Julia,
you give me the answer.
Julia.
All righty. That's it. Time is up. The game is over for this week. The final score in the College Quiz Bowl tonight is 145 points for Brown Pembroke College and 180 points for the winner, Oberlin College. The Brown Pembroke team, it's our pleasure to award an attractive and dependable Whitnor wristwatch, a distinguished product of the Longines Whitnor Watch Company. Since 1866, makers of watches of the highest character. For fielding the winning team tonight, Oberlin College will receive a $500 cash award from the National Broadcasting Company to be administered by the college. And these varsity scholars from Oberlin will return next week to meet Mount Holyoke College, South Hadley, Massachusetts, in this All-American College Quiz Game. Here, once again, is your master of the quiz, minus the $500, Alan Ludden.
And NBC is proud to award it, too, I will say. Now to this fine team from Brown Pembroke, who did a very good job tonight. Carolyn Urquhart. I'm sorry, Carolyn.
Okay.
Carolyn Urquhart, Evelyn Portnoy, Ralph Ginsberg, and John Cutler. Let me say it's been a pleasure having you in the College Quiz Bowl. It's always a pleasure to have Brown Pembroke here. We'll see you next week. Now, next week... Oberlin, I didn't mean next week. I meant next year. All right. Very funny. Next week, Oberlin meets Mount Holyoke College. The following week, we're going to have varsity scholars from Colgate, Princeton, University in Princeton, New Jersey. Now, this is Alan Ludden saying, so long, everybody.
Your referees tonight were for Brown University, Pembroke College, Ted Metcalf, station WJAR, Providence, and for Oberlin College, Gary Liebman, station WTAM in Cleveland, Ohio. College Quiz Bowl is an NBC Radio Network presentation, originated and produced by John Moses and John Reed, written by Nancy Faulk and directed by Ken McGregor.
Monitor takes you everywhere, each weekend on NBC Radio.